Here's Ben Barson and Alec Red. That was fun, and we'll let you pull that microphone a little closer, Ben.
Sure.
First, it's great to see you.
Great to be back. It brings back all kinds of great memories.
It's been a long time since we've seen one another.
At
least
I know.
Might be a couple years.
A year and a half, maybe.
Ben's been off, like, writing dissertations and getting medals and prizes. And
I wish that I could turn those medals, melt them into a dissertation, because it is...
You're still working on it.
It's not a fun process. But yeah, it's all... Right, exactly.
Yeah, that Brian Junker's here too. What did you say?
I said it feels so good when you stop, when it's done.
Yeah. Well, you've got a dissertation you could loan.
That's right. We can substitute statistics for music. Yeah. It'll work.
He's probably got like a Poisson theory or something, like a t-test he can give to you.
Yeah,
there's a way.
Music and mathematics are, you know, so intricately connected that it'll probably be accepted by the committee.
Right.
Yeah. So thanks for allowing me to plagiarize you on air.
No problem at all.
Yeah. And facts don't matter these days. It's all.
But anyway, you know, we're always really appreciative at the community space that you create to empower the youngsters we've had on here, and also to allow members of Afroyaki to share what we're working on. And that last song we just did is called La Cigarra. It's actually Linda Ronstadt, the mariachi singer. She did an album, Canciones Por Mi Padre, like Songs for My Father.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was one of the songs. I think it's written by Ray Perez y Soto, but it's kind of like a song that's in the mariachi song, you know, the real book of mariachi, so to speak, the fake book. It's one of their standards. So you just heard the intro horn line and solo section, but tonight, if the microbacterial weather holds up and Giselle recovers in time, she can't be with here. She sends her condolences to all of you listeners. Giselle Zanoth Rodriguez is one of the main principal singers of Afroyaki, and she is of Yaqui descent, a Native American group based in Mexico. She will be singing that song, and it sounds much better with her in the mix too. But we're just giving you that kind of flavor of what the harmony and horn lines and energy behind it sounds like.
And that'll be tonight, 7:30. January 11th, 2020, the first Songspace concert of the year. And we put a link up to Facebook to the event so you can get more information about it. While Brian is here, we'll move from dissertation to details. Is there anything else? Well, a little later we can talk about other programs in the series coming up, but anything?
Well, for tonight, just to remind everyone, it's 605 Morewood. It's at Morewood and Ellsworth in Shadyside, and there's always tickets at the door. We've had really good pre-sales, but there's always room for more people. It's going to be really fun.
Excellent. And check out, we are forbidden from getting too into pricing and things, but check out there are student deals or student discounts to make it really affordable for folks, and that's why I wanted to be sure to get the post on there.
Yeah, so and we typically don't turn people away at the door. So
yeah, so it should be a great event. So I need to meet Alec
now that
I've learned how to pronounce both of his names. Alec, can you tell me a bit about yourself?
Sure. I am actually a pretty recent transplant to Pittsburgh. I was born in Philadelphia originally. And then I moved out to the Scioto State for college. I went to IUP. But after college, I kind of re-caught the music bug and moved out to Pittsburgh, you know, to kind of, you know, follow my dreams and all that kind of good stuff. But I have honestly been a pleasure to meet lots of amazing people while I've been here, like Ben and the Afro-Yaki Music Collective, among a great many others. So, yeah.
That's great. What did you study at IUP?
Funnily enough, economics.
Well, there you go. When you said IUP, IUP has an excellent music department, music education, and maybe performance now, I'm not sure.
Yeah, but for sure. And what's funny is very honestly, especially my junior and senior year, I even though I was an economics major, I should have known better because I was definitely spending more time in the music building. I was in the economics building.
Did you do band or any of the...
I was in the marching band actually at IUP for 3 of the 4 years I was there. I did the concert band once, did the jazz bands a couple times, so I definitely kept it alive.
Yeah, Indiana's known, IUP is known for those programs. So you've relocated to Pittsburgh how long ago?
About a year and change now.
Okay, how's it been so
Honestly, fantastic. I had initially been in Mount Washington, but now I am in Highland Park, actually.
Excellent. Well, we our goal, Ben, is to keep him here. You know,
I'm doing my best.
We wanted the idea is to keep you here, and hopefully we'll be able to do that.
Alec is a really incredible artist. I mean, he as a musician, he phrases things and plays with so much color and soul. But he also recently acted in a production that we organized at the City of Asylum that Brian attended.
Yeah.
It was a play about a Afro-Puerto Rican scholar activist who was actually in the Harlem Renaissance. His name is Arturo Schomburg, and he, as many people don't know about this individual, the play is fittingly called "Erased," because even though this is someone who literally rescued 30,000 different slave narratives and memorabilia of African American and Pan African history, his name is only memorialized in the name of the research center that's named after him, the Schomburg Center for Research in Black History and Culture in Harlem. But he does not actually have much, name recognition in the popular consciousness, even amongst learned and, you know, interesting people such as all of us here. I didn't know who he was until the playwright Magdalena Gomez introduced his name to me. So Alec was cast actually as one of the doulas that raised Schomburg in Puerto Rico, and he had I don't know how much acting experience you had when you started.
Very
that.
Very little.
Okay, but he did an amazing job. Truly, it was just he brought so much humor and clever vulgarity that criticized the kind of puritanical norms that we're used to as part of his character named Blanca.
That's so incredibly nice.
But now we're getting to collaborate tonight in the musical world. So, he's a triple threat.
Very much.
No problem.
That's great. Hearing the two of you play is exciting. And it's always, Ben, you're you're just an amazingly unique player, and I'm blanking on the name of your mentor.
Fred Ho.
I'm sorry. I had his last name in my head. Couldn't remember Fred. I know, at least I think, some of your technique evolved from him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, for instance, one thing that he was really good at and he would actually compose a lot of phrases around is a technique called slap tongue, where you hit the reed. Yeah. So the saxophone is a woodwind instrument, if only because even though 99% of it is brass or leather, the initial vibration is created by usually a bamboo reed, bamboo, vertical little shape thing, and it vibrates against the tip of a mouthpiece, and that creates the sound. So what he does is he, instead of blowing into it, he hits it with his tongue so hard that it creates a sort of bass sound, which sounds like... to always get accurate pitches with it. So sorry I didn't do my slap-tonguing practice this morning before I came here. But yeah, he actually, on one of his songs, he actually does something that sounds very much like a... So, you know, he could kind of turn it into a little like... And he actually could create... three different sounds. I can only get one, like that kind of like this intense one. He could actually create a muted one too. So he really did sound like a bass.
That's amazing. Yeah. How do you know who originated something?
Well,
he
studied with Hamiet Bluett briefly, who was of the World Sax Quartet fame. Actually played here in Pittsburgh not too long ago. Unfortunately, I think he passed away in 2016, 2017, but so Hamiet Bluett is probably, I mean, I think the New York Times said he was the best baritone saxophone player ever. I don't know if that's true, but Bluett, I think Fred was the best saxophone player ever. I'm just kidding. I mean, that doesn't even mean anything because everyone has different styles. Yeah. But the point is, I think Hamiet was maybe the first person to really like explore the extended techniques of the baritone saxophone in a really systematic way. The other thing that Hamiet and Fred developed really well is a command of the altissimo range, which is the upper octaves of the saxophone, which I can demonstrate briefly if I have a second to do.
Absolutely.
So. Okay. So the main range of a saxophone is 2.5 octaves. And so in my case, it extends from like the second C on a piano up to an A flat, and it sounds like this. That's the normal range. But there's something called the overtone series, which basically every note has its own, like, multiples of its own frequency ensconed within.
We're getting closer to his thesis.
Yes, exactly.
The harmonics.
That's why I'm trying to impress Brian here. Auditioning for
it's
the
working.
Next. So basically, not only when you hear a note, like for instance, here's a low E flat. You're not just hearing that note. You're also hearing an octave above it. A fifth above that. All those pitches are theoretically in some proportion contained inside of that. So basically by manipulating the overtone series in a certain way, you can go above that limit, that 2.5 octave break. Dog whistle register.
I was just going to say, there's a lot of dogs.
Yeah,
Fred,
sometimes I'll be practicing at my house, and then all of a sudden I hear a dog barking like on the other side of the block, and I
believe it.
Okay, but probably should go to the basement to stop pissing off the neighbors.
So, are those Is part of it just blowing really hard, or is it more controlled?
It's controlled. It's mouth pressure. I mean, trumpet players, this is like exactly what they do. Like their whole
Yeah, that's what I was trying to think.
This.
It does sound like, you know, yeah. Doc Severinsen playing high notes or something.
Exactly. It is like that. And actually, I saw a great like picture on Facebook once, a meme or something, and it showed a piano with like keys that gradually get smaller. And the idea is that it takes so much accuracy to like manipulate your embouchure to the specific point to get one high partial versus another high partial, because trumpet only has three valves, right? So you're reproducing the same fingering position for, you know, probably, you know, over a dozen, you know, if not dozens of notes. So that's the I would say it's mostly, for me at least, it's mostly mouth position, but there's definitely throat training involved as well. I don't really know, to be honest.
It's amazing. And Ken, and I think people find this interesting. I don't want to. No. Can that technique be used on the entire family of saxophones?
Mm-hmm. Though I would say it's probably a little easier on baritone. Yeah. Baritone is a little bit more well suited for it.
Yeah, because, I mean, Alec can demonstrate something similar too, but the issue is that because we have more tubing. You know, we have more.
You can cut the kick easier because the kick's so big.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
It's a little harder with a small.
I can still, like, yeah, give it a shot if that's okay. Yeah.
Like
sure.
High A is a great note.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It's amazing. That was Alec Red. You heard Ben Barson before that. Why don't we get another song from
sure.
you?
We'll do a song by Fred Ho called We Refuse to Be Used and Abused. Fred was great because, you know, he was very much trained. He was a child of the 60s, but he was not really of age in the 60s. So he was trained by all of these really, like, important creative artists. Like, he studied with Sonia Sanchez, who's a poet from the Black Arts Movement. And she taught him about, you know, his cultural identity, oppression, racism. He was an Asian American man, Chinese American, who kind of related to that struggle and helped him find his own voice and kind of a very militant reclamation of his identity and his community's identity against kind of like any sort of damaging stereotypes that exist in our society about people of color in general. So he, this song, We Refuse to Be Used and Abused, is also called Unity, the Struggle of the Workers Unite, or something like that. And he maintained his leftist politics even through the Reagan years, through the Bush years, and now he would be right at home. Unfortunately, he passed away in 2014, but he kind of lit this torch for a while and brought these ideas in a very like high-profile jazz context, which was very uncommon in those decades. So anyway, this is just a little saxophone reduction of We Refuse to Be Used and Abused.
Wow, that's Alec Redd and Ben Barson of Afro Yaki Music Collective. As I listened to that, I mean, I heard not in any particular order, but anger and rage and driving sort of this driving positivity, yet also within it. And it's just amazing how much emotion, I have chills, how much emotion is in that, in a good kind of anger and rage. And Brian, I don't know. I'm curious your reaction.
I think that's right. I mean, I was really appreciating the way the bass line was going back and forth between the two of you, and then each of you would sort of take these soliloquies, which were just filled with emotion. It was very cool.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to overinterpret, but there's like this steady driving ahead, yet, you know, counter or superimposed with anger or celebration. It was a really great piece. I can't imagine what it's like to have the whole band do it.
Well, Larry, you're
have to imagine.
You're on the guest list for tonight. We'll be performing this song tonight as well. I think you described it perfectly because this is the contradiction that we have to live in. I mean, we are every generation since, you know, nuclear energy and possibly before that has considered theirs to be facing existential crises to humanity. But it does feel like we're at the time – what happens now is going to reverberate for millennia. Mm-hmm. And it's really, you know, sad and words I probably am not permitted to say on this station right now.
If you think they're not, they probably aren't.
Yeah. but there actually are no words to describe, you know, the mass extinction that we're entering and the kind of deliberate, systematic, strategic nihilism of certain elites in this country and around the world that are actually only getting more powerful as a result of the crisis. But we can't, succumb to that same nihilism. We have to stay positive and uplifting and encouraging and bring people into the fold to build a movement to replace the system that we have right now because it does need to be replaced.
I was with an elementary school teacher yesterday who was telling me about a 5-year-old girl in her school who asked if they could please work on loaning the school van to people in Australia because you could get a lot more animals in a van than in a car.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's from a 5-year-old who, you know, bless her thinking that way, but for her to have to experience that also is just so troubling.
It's brutal.
And, you know, the key is to find a way to keep that spark and that empathy forever. And actually this teacher will nourish that in every way possible. I want to talk a little bit about the collective and sort of about what it's about. And then we'll come to Brian from the Song Space series to talk just a little bit about it. And then I think you have one more song to play. But the Afro Yaki Music Collective, and you started to mention that Yaki is a indigenous people in Mexico, in rural Mexico, right? And that's really the genesis, right? I don't want – you can explain it much better than I can.
I definitely want to hear Alex's understanding of Afro Yaki Music Collective.
No worries.
Too.
Is this a test?
yeah, this is your final – no, I'm just kidding.
I mean, being fairly new to the collective, I definitely can't speak perhaps confidently on necessarily like the history of it or anything. But I kind of hearkening back to what you're talking about, like the music, I was so drawn to doing this, not only because Ben is an incredible person, but because like more so than honestly a lot of the music that I've played, this music has like that like deep set, like emotion and like deep set, like kind of like cry for things to be, you know, better or to change or to get better. And I love that. Like, it is just not only in the music that Ben writes or helps to write, but also in the music just that is selected for the group in general. Everything sounds just like and feels so absolutely incredible, like when you're playing it, like not just to listen to, but like you feel kind of like in those person's shoes for like a half a second or like in that experience for a half a moment, you know?
Thank you. Yeah, I think and you know, basically, you know, we've worked with people from all over the U.S. and sometimes the world, and the people that connect to that energy as like, you know, there's something that can't always be communicated in a language.
Yeah.
So thank you for, you know, putting your soul and your sound into that experience. And that's, I think, what a social movement is trying to do, right? It's like we're sort of mimicking that. And I think that's the concept of the band, is that we're trying to create a sense of like movement and solidarity and like forward motion and unity, but also like not unity that is like stamping out differences or silencing, you know, critiques of power, but amplifying those in order to help us dismantle them, challenge them, create new allies. And so the name of the band comes out of actually Fred's ensemble, Fred Ho's ensemble, who we were discussing before. He had a group called the Afro-Asian Music Ensemble, and Fred theorized and lived this kind of intersection of a kind of like African-American, Asian-American, or Afro-Asian, more general pan-continental identity, like W.E.B. Du Bois. You know, he lived in China for some years. And actually, you know, Mao Zedong, who obviously has a complicated historical legacy, but he did support the, you know, civil rights and black freedom movement in this country. You know, Muhammad Ali refused to serve in the Vietnam War. And even the invention of the drum set, which included originally included gongs. The hi-hat is derived from the nim bao, which is a Chinese vertical cymbal that clamps like this. Was reflective of the fact that there were a lot of Chinese migrant workers affectionately or not so affectionately named coolies that were working in the Mississippi River region. They were brought in to replace enslaved labor because this was immediately after the end of slavery, and planters wanted to keep their hyper-profitivity working for them. So anyway, the music has this solidarity, this counter-solidarity, this counter-narrative to the sort of official U.S. history. And so what we're trying to do with Afro Yaqui Music Collective is, a big part of it is drawing attention to the Yaqui nation in northern Mexico. They're fighting for their ancestral water rights. They actually were a nation that was never colonized by the Spanish, so they have a very interesting legacy in that sense, since so many original peoples on this continent were colonized, if not outright genocided. But right now they're fighting for this river that's been compared to the Nile. It's so, you know, lush and wide, and it exists in a desert. Its basin forms in southern Arizona, and it's being diverted in Mexico for the likes of Heineken and Ford, as well as some other Mexican companies. So what's interesting is that when the Yaqui signed a peace treaty with the Mexican government after years of war in the early 1900s, part of that agreement was that they had the right to manage that river. And so right now there's activists like Mario Luna who's trying to remind his people who are divided on the issue because there's so much poverty and violence from the state as well as internally to not accept money, not accept handouts from the government to, you know, defend this river because it's an ecosystem that needs to be defended. There's species that are going extinct as a result of this. They're starting to frack there now as well. So we brought Mario Luna to the U.S. and did a tour with him around our album release, which is called Mirror Butterfly. We did a musical that expressed some of these themes and interviewed kind of climate activists from around the world. And actually, I have that CD here for you and Ricky.
Thank you.
Yeah, please listen to it. Read the liner notes first because it's kind of a crazy CD. So that's the... Yeah, that's the concept of the band.
Well, no, that's really helpful. That explains the importance of the tension in your music, a good kind of tension, because I'm sure the Yaqui people, they're not a monolithic block. I'm sure there are different feelings within the community as well as you expand outside of it. Does their land border the United States? Are they that far north?
There actually is a Yaqui community in Arizona.
Okay.
And that's partly a result of there was a Mexican dictator named Porfirio Diaz who actually enslaved a lot of Yaqui folks in the like early 1900s and sent them around the country actually, and some of them migrated to Arizona. Unfortunately, really sad chapter in all of our history, especially Mexican history. But there is a big Yaqui community in Arizona, and there's I think the majority of Yaquis live in Mexico, and there's been various attempts over the years to connect those that diaspora.
And Barson is the voice you just heard, and he, along with the Afro Yaqui Music Collective, all of them. We'll be performing tonight, presenting tonight at the First Unitarian Church of Pittsburgh, which is in Shadyside. It starts at 7:30, and it's part of the Song Space series, and Brian Junker is here. I'm curious what else is planned for the new year in addition to tonight's concert.
Well, we've got two more shows set up. One is April 3rd. Which is a Friday. You know, most of our shows are on Saturdays, but this is a Friday show with a group that I know that you know well and many of your listeners know, the Early Mays.
Mm.
And there's actually a nice connection there because I met Ben through Emily Pinkerton, who's one of the main people in the Early Mays. So that'll be really great. And then in May, I believe the date is May 2nd. That's a Saturday. We have Joe Crookston returning. So he hasn't been to Pittsburgh for quite a long time, and it'll be great to have him back in town.
I hope we can maybe arrange for him to, if we haven't done that yet. Joe's a great songwriter.
Yeah, and he's been on this show before, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just a fine songwriter.
Yeah, and coming from a very different musical direction, he's also someone who has a lot of concern for social justice and environmental justice, and a very heartfelt and sensible progressive agenda in his music. So.
Well, and that's one of the unique things about Song Space is it's no surprise in terms of the way I feel about it. Music shouldn't be pigeonholed into particular, or needn't be into particular genres or classifications. It's quite possible to have a whole range of different things. And guess what? People actually enjoy life that way.
Yeah.
Or there are many people that enjoy life that way.
Well, you know, one of the things Ben has written in the past is he said that jazz, and clearly Afro-Yaqui has a big connection with jazz and their music, but jazz is so much more than just European music viewed through an African lens. There's so many ways you can mix musics of different cultures the way Afro-Yaqui is doing. And that's one of the things I really appreciate about the Early Mays, too, is that they mix indigenous music of the Appalachians with other kinds of musics and really produce interesting stuff.
So here, let's hope that you get a chance to go tonight, if you can. It's at 7:30. Tickets available at the door, and I think it's songspace.com.
UUSongspace.com.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. UUSongspace.com. You would think I would have written that down.
No, that's all right.
This will be our last chance to talk for you guys. The album, I'm happy it's out. How can people get that?
It's you know, Amazon Music or, you know, iTunes, Spotify. Also our website, Afro-Yaqui. That's Afro, Y-A-Q-U-I. Music Collective, two C's in a row, .com has all the information there. And I just want to also mention that Giselle Zanoth, my partner and the singer we were discussing, and I are about to start a residency at the University of Wisconsin. So this will be our last performance as a band for a long time in Pittsburgh, but we are going to do another event at the Unitarian Church on February 7th with...
The Chamber Orchestra of Pittsburgh. They have a residency at the church, and that's another great series. It's a really important series here in Pittsburgh.
So I suspect we may come back for
Excellent.
That one.
I hope you will, and I hope this is a temporary residency.
It's only temporary. It's not cold enough for us here. So.
Yeah, and look for this album because this is a case where you may well want the physical product so that you have the notes on it and
Absolutely.
Have it as something to read. Anything that you want to mention, Alec, that you – it's okay to mention other projects as long as it's okay with Ben.
Yeah, please talk about
it. Oh, sure. I mean – I, until very recently, had been one of the founding members of another group actually called Afronat, which is based out of Johnstown. I'm no longer, unfortunately, continuing on with them. However, they are phenomenal and actually are less politically motivated, but rooted in a lot of actually the same kind of like musical traditions that Afro-Yaki is. Which is another reason that it was, you know, very awesome to like meet more people that like had those kind of like roots. I also do a lot of just kind of like solo recording work and like sit-in work around the city. I played with a group called Matt Otis and the Sound out in Bedford, Pennsylvania. Glenn Strother Project. I don't know if you've ever heard of them before, but I sit in with them a whole bunch. So
he's. If you need a sax player in the Alleghenies, you're the guy.
Yes.
How can people – do you have a website?
That yeah.
People...
I am on most social media, you know, Facebook, Instagram.
Okay. Just Alec with a C, red.
Yep.
Easy. So, Ben, what are you going to close up with?
This song is called No Non Scene. Well, you know, basically this is an original kind of groove bass line that usually Giselle will sing another song over. Called Nonantzin, which in Nahuatl and Aztec language means Mother Earth or my mother. So, yeah, but I think for now it's just our tribute to what a wonderful experience we had with you, Larry and Ricky. Thank you so much for having us on the air and Brian for organizing this. We're really excited for tonight and for the future.
Thank you. And thanks also to Malik and to Chad.
Yes, of course.
Who's done an amazing – this is not – as you well know, this is not the easiest music to mix
no.
In this setting, and That's you sound right. amazing.
Great. So. Thank you for – we can't tell, so thanks for letting us know. And also thanks, John Binley, for behind the scenes organizing this stuff too. Okay, so we'll start.
Alec Red and Ben Barson, thank you.